Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Mr. Money TV live on Thursday night. And I'm Peter. Tonight, we have a very interesting topic. And tonight, we'll be talking about property investment, all right? Now, if you guys own a property, do type 1 in the comments, right? So we know that you guys are actually a property investor or either a homeowner. Now, and for those of you who have not yet invested in a property or are thinking about buying one, please type 2 in the comment. Also, that tells us that you're hearing us loud and clear over this live. So, tonight we have something interesting in store because we are very lucky to be able to invite a CEO of a property developing company. And that is Jin Wai,
the CEO
of Bond Estate, right?
Yes.
That's right. I always get very confused. Bond Estate, Bond Group, the estate, and then now Bond Cara. Yeah. So, the company name itself is Bond Estate, right?
Bond Estates with the S.
Bond Estates.
Yeah.
So the first one that you developed was called The Estates.
Yeah. So it's like a landmark project. So it's called The Estate.
Right. I see. Okay. So now I'm going to start with the first thing, right? Sure. You yourself, Jin Wai, you have been a CEO for the past 7 years?
Well, I came onto this role perhaps for less than 7 years. I was in the company for 7 years, but the role was probably 2.5, coming 3 years.
Coming 3 years. Yeah. The first property that you all developed was The Estates in Bangsa South.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. That's right.
Can you share with me a little bit? Like, because you guys are relatively new in the property space.
Yep.
Yeah. What inspired you guys to start this property developing company? Like, why suddenly?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, thanks for having me this evening on a Thursday night live streaming here. I think it's good to just also put some records straight as well for the confusion of the company name and the project name and things like that. So maybe before I answer the question fully, I can just dive back a little bit where, in fact, Bond Estates was started off by our founder, Mr. Goh Soo Sing, in as early as 2012 in Penang, where he rejoined the family business in property development in Penang, and he, of course, kicked off some landed projects in Penang Island, White Lily and Minden Gardens.
Mm.
So those two projects were, I think, Superlink and some Semedi properties, which was sold out upon launch as well.
Mm.
So I think that was how it started off initially. And then thereafter that, he himself has been also, is a person who travels a lot. He enjoys lifestyle. He also enjoys design. And I guess with that being said, when he came down to KL, Kuala Lumpur, sometime around 2014, 2015, he realized perhaps there is a demand of such a well-designed homes to fit the market.
Mm.
And coincidentally, I think there was an opportunity of a land in this place called Kerinci, or was called Kerinci, but now known as Bangsa South.
Mm.
Hence, that's where the first project came about. And of course, his vision was that, you know, building beautiful homes is something which is close to his heart as well. And that's how this was conceived in a sense. So just to put the record straight as well, I think Bond Estates, so first word, Bond. Bond itself is actually a Tibetan word where the O there has the two little dots. So Bond in Tibetan actually means the natural elements. Cantonese is Kam Mok Soi Fo To La. So natural elements, right? And because he also practiced meditation and he's also very spiritual as well in that sense, a very calm gentleman. So that's where Bond came up with that name. The second word, estates. So of course, estate in Malaysia mostly is known as rubber plantation. So hence perhaps that's where not many people utilize estates. But if you were to refer the word estate in UK, it is a very grandiose, perhaps not even a manor mentioned, it's probably a manor
with a
large estate.
That's right.
So I think with the word bond and estates all together, add up together, it somehow presents a very nice tone and ring to it where it is talking about luxury, yet it's not over the top sort of feel. I think I may be biased. So I guess that's how Bond Estates name started off. So Kam Mok Soi Fo To, or the five elements, in English is your wood, earth, water, metal, and I can't remember what's the last one. But all these five elements is that it represents us, it also represents the company culture as well.
Mm.
Where in any time we do any developments, these are the elements that we must have because
right.
this is the natural balance of the elements.
Right.
So that's also how we derive our company values as well, having these five elements of being balanced in our company corporate values and our mission and vision as well. So I think that is very much on the company and the project.
Mm.
how it kicked off. And right. hence come the estate lah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder when I go to the estates there at the time, it feels very much like Bali and that.
Yeah. So
when you say that he likes spiritual, you know.
Yeah, so like, it's very resortish feeling.
Yes, very resort feeling.
Yeah.
And very, very well designed, I have to say. Yeah. For those of you who haven't seen that particular property, you can go and check out our video that we have posted up recently.
You guys did a tour there.
Now, the next thing is this, right? For most property developers, when they enter into a space, generally they like to start with lower cost ones, right? And they like to, it's safer and so on. But you guys actually straight away start, you all went for straight away the most high-end thing, which is a big unit. And lately, if you look at many of the developments that we are talking about, they are talking about space saving. Most people are squeezing as many units as they can on one parcel of land. But for you so far, every single property, which is the past, first one, the estates, and the other one, which is Bonkara, both are talking about 2,500 square feet and above. So you're talking about big units. So why this approach?
Yep. So we did a lot of market study, market research as well. And of course, we also identified the supply of large units in South, in Bangsa South. So when we kicked it off, Bangsa South itself has closed about 220 odd units below 2,001 square feet. That was 7 years ago, I think 2016, right? And we realized that actually there's such a low supply, but actually there could be a high demand, mainly because perhaps office towers are nearby. It's also at the border between Kuala Lumpur and Selangor, or PJ, Petaling Jaya. And it's also somewhat very near to city centre, near to KL Central, also near to Mid Valley, because there's so many corporate offices nearby there. So perhaps that being said is that I think that it is a segment where we are looking at this target audience of the T20 or perhaps the top market audience, where they appreciate design and they probably want something different, right? I mean, if I use an example, nobody knew that they needed an iPod.
Mm.
1,000 music in your pocket.
Yep,
that was
yep.
a statement by Steve Jobs back in the days.
Mm.
Now, fast forward many years ahead, we are coming out with an iPhone 15 already. I think iPhone 20 probably start flying, right? So, I guess what I'm trying to say is that certain products, as much as marketing research can provide you and the supply of research can provide you that confidence of data, but at the end of the day, I think it's vision and also the gut of the owner and foresight as well to foresee it. I mean, I don't think there's anything called risk-free ideas of businesses. At the end of the day, there's certain risks there. But to go on to these big sizes, we have identified there is a segment that requires this and wants this.
Mm.
And looking at the estate, our smallest size was 2,003 square feet, ranging up to 3,005 square feet. And where 3,005 square feet is a very unique product where it's actually a dual key. And we were promoting multi-generational living. Having your family staying with your kids and then your parents or in-laws staying next door.
Mm.
Near but not too near, but yet you have a distance and you have your own space. I guess that's what everyone aspire to have as well and be together and also have a good support system, especially you have kids.
Yeah.
Right? You can travel and you have a support system. So I think that was the typical sizes that we have. And of course, we had a penthouse unit, which is, when I say penthouse, means it's a double-story penthouse. So those were sold out. Then we had another one called the Iron Man House, which was very interesting.
Iron Man House?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one because when I call it the Iron Man House, I'm like, what Iron Man House are you talking about? So I'm sure those who have watched Iron Man, they know that, Iron Man can fly from wherever and just land onto his so-called helipad or his landing pad.
Yeah.
And you can just walk in, right? And it's just one floor. So the estate was 4 units per floor on a typical unit or typical floor. But the Sky House, we call it, is actually 2 units in one. So the highest floor is actually just 2 units on one floor.
Wow.
Right. And with that being said, is that I think that is that segment or that is some unique demand where nobody really catered for. That was originally about, I think, 5,003 square feet to 7,000 over square feet.
Mm.
Snapped up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to the estate and I realized one thing that was very unique is the fact that at the moment you actually get in the lift and you get to your unit itself, it's straight away a private foyer.
Private lift lobby, that's right.
Private lift lobby, right?
That's right.
Yeah, private lift lobby. And then I recall the last time that I ever stepped into a unit that was like that was in KL.
Mm.
Yeah, but the difference was that it was a way smaller parcel of land.
Mm.
So it's really just one building. There's no space to walk around. Mm. Yeah, and it was dead in the city center lah, in Tun Razak area. Yep. I think it's Jalan Tun Razak, if I can recall. And out of all those buildings there, probably only like one or two that has such a design.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was this question on whether do people actually really want it or not, right? Mm. But you guys really actually went ahead. Yep. And true enough, it proved to be successful lah.
Yeah.
Because when the moment you guys launched, how much was it again?
When we launched, about 650 per square feet.
650 per square feet.
Yeah.
And the last check, if I'm not wrong, the transaction value was about 1050, is it?
Yeah, 1050 for a fully furnished unit. Of course, of the slightly smaller sizes. The larger size, then slightly lower per square feet lah. But of course, at 1050 per square feet is a fully furnished unit. It's in fact a friend of mine who sold it. So,
right.
So it
right,
is
right.
Actual figure that I got it, and which was surprising to me, but I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I guess that's where they have, in a way, taken a certain risk with us. They believe in us. They give us the support. Mm. And they're getting their rewards out of it monetarily.
As well. Yeah. Mm. So either way, from what I know right now, is that the cheapest unit that you can find there right now is probably about 1.9. That is also an unfinished unit. And then the fella is probably like...
The 2003
just want to get it off his hand kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that kind of unit usually come by like... Maybe once, because I tried calling. Actually, when I was researching about this, actually, I called up quite a lot of property agents to actually ask.
Okay.
And the next thing that I asked them was, what's the rental rate?
Yeah.
And they told me that the minimum rental rate is actually 8,000 ringgit.
Yep.
And I called multiple sources just to verify that. And we are talking about an unfurnished unit at 8,000 ringgit.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's the smallest one, lower floor. And she said that if, let's say, it's a higher floor, fully furnished, well-designed, you're probably talking about 13,000 to 15,000.
Yep.
Yeah, and many of the people who rent that are actually expat.
Yes.
And this really jumps in very much in line with that particular location. Because if we are talking about 7 years ago, the vertical, the sphere was just starting out.
Yeah.
Now, and here I want to talk a little bit about the location, right? Mm. Which is the fact that when you guys started in this place, the same with Bon Cara right now, what I realized that you all like to choose those places that are very, very close to hot areas, right? Like when we talk about Bangsa South, it used to be Kerinci. Yep. And that time was just in the early phase of rebranding. Mm. And Kerinci is a unique piece of land because Kampung Kerinci is extremely near to Bangsa Pantai exit. It is very near to Mid Valley, right? But it is not exactly there, but it's very near there, right? And the same approach that you took with Bon Cara currently, which is right in the center of Mon Cara, but just at the border, which is Cara Tree.
Yep.
And is closely associated with Segambut and squatters, right? It's the same thing with the estates right now, right? When you guys first started that time, did you guys envision that it's going to be a successful project? That like, it is really, really end up going to be like fully developed later and then there will be all this commercialization coming in, the demand will start pouring in. Yeah. How much of it was like, well planned, and how much was it that actually gave you a surprise?
Yep. Well, I think for the estate, it wasn't a real surprise to begin with because it was redeveloped by another developer that has turned it to become Bangsa South as it is today. And they did a fantastic job putting in office towers, bringing MSC, MNCs as well, like Alibaba. I think you have BHP, you have BP there as well. So many MNCs are there, right? So I think they did a fantastic job. However, the difference is that also because the land that we have is a freehold land, and the most of the Bangsa South land itself are leasehold. So that plays also a good part as well, right? So that's the definition. That's the first thing. Second thing, of course, when we got the land, it's also near many affordable homes, your PPR homes, so to speak. And many a times we also have that challenges of, you know, I want to stay here, but I don't want to see the flats. I don't want to see this, I don't see that. But actually, looking at it, it was a challenge then. But with the strong conviction with the team, I think we managed to successfully pull this through with flying colors, lah, I'll be very honest. And we were very happy and surprised as well. But I think it's the conviction of the team. So that's on the estate. But coming to Bon Cara, from the day one when we bought the land, we know access is always a challenge. Hence, we have been working tirelessly to get this approved. Fortunately, we have gotten it approved by DBKL to connect the road, the very key artery that I can bring straight from Solaris, directly from Solaris, right? And knowing that, in fact, The whole stretch of Jalan Segambut, Jalan Segambut Dalam, and all the way to Jalan Kera 3 to Kera 4. There are work being done as of now. There's four phases towards to Taman Sri Sina. Phase one and two is somewhat coming to completion after acquiring a lot of lands. They're widening the road there. So that's the other end, Segambut. And somewhat they have also closed off a way where people from Kepong, Manjalara cannot turn directly in. So they are diverting the traffic right now to go elsewhere. So it eases off the traffic. So this is the first step. Second step is that perhaps when the roads get wider, then new arteries are connected within Kera 3 and also Duta Kera, which is the one that we're connecting, then things will be also better as well. So I think at the end of the day, road widening would happen because we are a car nation. We are not really a public transportation user nation at this current juncture. Hence, I think this is just one thing that we are looking to identify and address, which we have already gotten approval. So I think this punch through is very key because everyone say, you're near the squatters. Say, yeah, our land previously was also squatters as well. Hence, we bought it over the squatters and we actually turned it around to modernize it and urbanize it. So that's what we've done. So naturally, in fact, Mon Kera was never Mon Kera. It was also Segambut.
Yeah, it was actually Segambut.
It was just also trees and also squatters as well.
The earlier sunrise day, they got the same comments.
Correct. So I believe the song that everyone is singing, wow, near squatters, wow, jam, wow, squatters, wow, jam. It was probably since sunrise days until today. It's still the same thing. But nevertheless, traffic is one thing. And without traffic, property price will never increase. Or will not increase as much.
Yeah.
So I think that's how I would see it because I think that's the fact of property appreciation. You need population
yeah.
for commercial activity, economic activity as well,
yeah.
and capital appreciation. So to answer your question, why did we choose such challenging sites? Well, we didn't really choose it in a sense, but opportunity come, you just see the opportunity and see how you can turn it around to make it an innovative product. Hence, that's why Bon Kera itself is designed with some uniqueness in the property itself, where there is a central park, there is a dedicated pet park within the development. Why we do all this? Because I dive back to a bit of nostalgic stories. Like when I was young, I stayed in a housing estate, and there's always a padang there. So that's where the padang I play with
yes.
friends and every races, anything lah, you can do there, right? So by having that in our development, it kind of helps for community building. And I don't think there's any development in Mon Kera at the moment perhaps has a dedicated central park.
Well, I don't think there's many condos at that, literally.
Exactly.
Just Kera, many condos.
Yeah, that as well. So yeah. I think that's the differentiation of how we look into products slightly differently, right. with different lens.
Right. Yeah, so here's the thing, right? When it comes to this part here, I bet there are many people who actually say exactly the same thing, which is the moment they go over to Jalan Kera 3, you know, they'll be like, wow, the road so lousy, so many squatters, you know, everything all. And this is a lesson that I myself learned along the years as I invest in property and as I hear a lot of stories.
Yeah.
I recall back in those days, when I was studying in DJ, Damansara Jaya, my dad used to tell me in the 70s, this is Robert Estate.
Mm.
Nobody cares about this place.
Yep.
In fact, DO office offered him land at 10 cents per acre. Yeah. And he said he didn't take because he said, why don't I buy a God knows where place?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And every time he fetched me in school, he would tell me, I should have bought this place. Then I recall during those times as well, that time SS2 was popular, right? DJ, DU area was like the king, right?
Yep.
Then I remember when I was about Form 3, you start hearing friends moving to two locations, Puchong and Kota Kemuning. These were the two places, right? Yeah, our friends start saying, oh, we are going to move to Kota Kemuning. They're like, Kota Kemuning, where on earth is that Klang? They're like, huh? All the way to Klang, what's wrong with you, bro? Like, you sure or not? God knows where the place is, right? Yeah. And then friends moving to Puchong. That's like also another Pamoy Estate place, right? Yeah. But as far as I'm concerned, every time after about 5 years to 10 years, it becomes the next hot place. Subsequently, when we graduated, I recall when you say like buying a house in Kinrara, people are like, Kinrara, very rich. Oh. I still remember when I was Form 3, people tell Kinrara. I still remember. So I think this is something that we always have to remember when we are investing in property actually, is that the very reason you're investing in property is because land are scarce.
Yep.
Land is limited. Yeah, as simple as that. as long as you are sticking near to the border or some hot areas, if you are very rich, then you can buy right in the center. If you're not very rich, then you buy at the border because eventually it will develop. Because every side crowded, then there's only one space left. In fact, the place that I'm staying is called Kampung Baru Subang. Now it's the Subang Bestari, the area. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, nobody cares what's Bestari. Today, if you own a house in Bestari, you are like, oh, wow, you are actually staying very near to Kota Damansara. Same with Ara Damansara. It used to be a God knows where land. And my point is that another point I want to mention is, I realize a lot of people say traffic jam. And I hate living in places that's jammed with traffic.
Yep.
But as far as I'm concerned, my office is in Kota Damansara. And will I move away from nearby here? The answer is I won't because of the convenience. And number two, if today I were to own a house that is right at Jalan Tun Razak, will I be happy?
Yep.
I'll be very happy, man. Will I stay there? Maybe not, but I'll be very happy because, I mean, it's traffic jam every day, but that's the reason why there's a population there, right?
Yeah.
The other day we were at the talk also, I was saying that if you really want no one, you go Bukit Beruntung. No one there. As clear traffic as possible. So in fact, I would say that if you are looking at a property investment over long term, having traffic jam are all actually good signs. Mm. So we must never get confused with where you like to live versus is it a good investment.
Yep.
These are two very, very, very correct. Different stories.
Correct.
Right.
Because the decision making is also not
ASB. Correct.
One right. is emotional, one is logical or rational.
That's right, yeah. Like, will I go and stay right next to KLCC? I won't, but if I have a house there, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to rent it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's two very, very different things. And now, having said that with Bon Kiara itself, right? We're talking about location, and right now, a lot of people are actually saying that, oh, it is still squatters, you know, this and that. And are you sure you can expand the land? Are you sure you can extend the road? Is there space or not? Because there's like those squatters at the side.
Yeah.
And because from what I see right now, it's already, the other day I went there, it was already starting to have those barricades for new construction, not just Bon Kiara, but other units as well.
Mm.
Right? But there's still one row of squatter kind of shops, right? At two sides of the road.
Yep.
Now, before when you bought the land at the time, I am very sure that, do you already have information that is going to be developed? Or is it like, let's see lah. With the intelligent guess, we're going to go in.
Well, I think roughly we know what's going to happen there because of the researches that we've done through all the relevant parties and authorities as well. And as of today, I think there's only 1, 2, 3 on the same road of Kiara Tree, which is before us, 3 parcels of so-called squatters available. And perhaps it's also up for sale. That's why I know. So,
right? Okay.
And when it's up for sale, then you know lah. Naturally, someone who wants to do something in Mon Kiara, then there would be that opportunity to look at it lah. So, with regards to whether did we know from the day we purchased, I think this is very much about conviction and also foresight as well lah. Like you said, like your dad many years ago, 70s, 10 cent, he also couldn't expect suddenly today suddenly so busy. Banyak Tama was also rubber plantation, you know, Damansara Tama. So I think even SS2 at the same time, all this was just estates, right? Yeah. So to say that we have the crystal ball, I don't think so. But I think is that the right study and the right approach that we came about was that we are very focused to do a clan very projects where the economy is, the population are. And of course, with that being said, that's where also you can widen your spectrum or your netting to catch these foreigners. As well, right? So I think that's the idea that we kicked off Bon Kiara, and the challenge of the site itself. Every site you go is always a challenge. Good sites, no challenge means they bought many years ago. So there's no site, there's no challenge one these days at all. So every site, there's a challenge as well. But to us, when we see this challenge, we find it as an opportunity how we can turn or make the place more vibrant and improve the space, or even what you call it, placemaking, to make it look better, And anytime a developer comes in, infrastructure has to be improved because we have to contribute and we have to improve it. If not, who will want to come and stay, right? So I think with all this coming in, yes, you will probably have to endure 3-4 years of construction, dust, and stuff like this. But naturally, I think these are the things that will eventually happen, especially we are the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. And interestingly, that generally most Malaysians always stays in suburban areas. Like for myself, we all stay in suburban urban areas. You ask me to stay at KLCC, KLCC may not be my first choice lah, because I still want my wantan mee.
Right now, Kennedy.
Yeah, but I still want my wantan mee and my char kway teow nearby here lah, which the kopitiam that I'm familiar with, right?
Yeah.
Say, auntie, you know, kind of thing. So the radius as far as people would migrate has a limitation, right? Mm. And especially if it's a young family with kids, education, school is also important. Then your support system is also equally important. So I think the target audience that we have right now is, of course, very much Malaysian. Population is purchasing and its family size, family target market because of the Chinese schools nearby, some of the local national schools nearby as well, and some of course the international school for those who want to send the kids to international school. So I think with that, all these said, these are the few necessary conveniences,
right,
that is readily there,
right? Yeah, right. So again, right, when it comes to this Bon Cara that's being built there, you guys also went for 2,500 square feet and above.
Mm.
Yeah. But the trend that has been running in Bon Cara is always 700 square feet, 900 square feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, what gives you guys this conviction for 2,500?
Yeah.
And who do you foresee? Let's say, I mean, obviously it's for families,
yep,
right? But if let's say I'm an investor coming in here, what should I kind of expect out of this kind of big unit? Why should I look at big unit in Bon Cara?
Yep. Well, the sizes for Bon Cara starts off about 2,081 square feet all the way up to 3,085, about 3,001 square feet. So 2,001 to 3,001 square feet. The 2,005 you mentioned is actually our showroom. In
oh Bansa. Yeah, because I'm so used to the showroom, 2,005.
The Bansa Gallery. Yeah. So that's the second type, second smallest. So I guess few things play into part. First, why did we do such big sizes again? Supply is readily available in Bon Cara versus like the estate. Supply was low, that's why we went in. But Bon Cara, the supply is readily available. However, those supplies has been around for more than 10, 12 years.
Mm.
Right? It's aged.
Right.
So when it's aged,
right,
then it has to ensure that the building is also properly well managed, enough funds in the management account so that it can maintain the building, maintain the landscaping, the security, the cleanliness, the repainting and what stuff like that.
Mm.
So why I want to bring all this up is because when you go for smaller sizes unit, you tend to have a larger pool of investors coming in. Yeah? And when you have a larger pool of investors coming in, competition might higher law. So everyone will start perhaps just to service the loan. They probably will take a cut or they throw whatever they can just to get some money in and top up the little difference.
Yeah.
First thing. Second thing, of course, not forgetting, strata, you need to pay maintenance fees. So even at 750 square feet unit, or let's say 800 square feet unit, small ones, 40 cents maintenance fee, lebih kurang around there. Also, it's about 400 ringgit a month already, in addition to your repayment, right?
Yeah.
So those are so much your operating costs lah for smaller units.
Mm.
But in the long run, when you have so many investors in the, so many investors and competition on the pricing wise, chances are for you to find a tenant is very competitive.
Mm.
And whenever you don't get a tenant, what's the first thing you don't pay? Maintenance fees in the long run.
Yep.
You definitely service a bank loan until you cannot.
Yeah.
But maintenance fee is something which you have a choice not to. Because
that's when you walk in the lift, you start seeing the whole lease there.
That could happen. I mean, I've seen so many of these before, right? So I think I'm not trying to scare people, but I think this could be something that may happen. Competition is also very steep. So coming to the big size unit for an investor market, when the property is occupied by home occupiers, highly likely the chances are they are buying to stay for the long term, means they also want the building to be well maintained.
Yes.
They want it to be well maintained, they are going to keep it properly managed and ensure things are all in order. So when the property is well occupied by own occupiers, homeowners themselves, that means the competition is also lesser for investors to find a tenant.
Mm.
The community is also perhaps, I'm not sure whether what's the right word, whether it's more matured or perhaps more stable.
Mm.
You don't get funny tenants coming in, nor Airbnb suddenly coming in. I mean, Airbnb is not a bad thing. It's just that the tenants that comes through can be some nightmare tenants. Lah.
Mm.
I'm also not saying that you wouldn't get nightmare tenants in big size units or home occupied residents, but you probably will get corporates who are willing to pay you on time,
yes,
who are coming, sending someone from, I don't know, UK, China, or wherever, to come in to stay. So these are better profile tenants. In that way, it also helps to preserve your property at the same time, your investment as well.
Mm.
So I think, to answer your question, I think that is the differentiation of investor looking at the smaller units and the bigger units. Why we do the bigger units? Like I mentioned earlier, some of those are much older units, 10 years, 8 years already. The normal cycle of someone who may shift a house generally is about 8 years.
Mm.
Naturally. After 8 years, because you have progress in your career, progress in your finance, and progress in your life, your also kids probably got bigger as well, you want larger spaces. What more even after COVID, right? So I think people appreciate space more as well. And that's how this idea of Bonkara, the layout, the design was conceived as well. It was all during COVID. And we have definitely improved a lot of internal flow, space planning internally, the balcony, lanai, wet kitchen area, the dining area, the bedrooms, the bathroom. So these are things that we have, you know, that are thought through during COVID. And that's how we try to differentiate with the products.
Yeah. So before we go into that part about the design, which I really want to talk about it as well. My one more question in terms of investment and in terms of the landscape of supply and demand in that area. Bonkara has always been well known as a place for expat.
Mm.
Right. And in the past, when MM2H became very unclear, it kind of took a hit in the place a little bit, right? Because I have one unit at Jalan Karatri, right? And that's why thank you for building the road. For the first time ever, it's going to connect everything together.
Yep.
So my property also going to increase in price because of that. And hopefully that LRT build and stuff like that, lah, right?
Yeah,
then it's going to all make money together. You know, the whole street is going to be the next beautiful street there, right? But my point is that currently, government is also talking about reviving the MM2H program. Yeah, how do you think that will affect the investment opportunity of Bonkara? How does it sit to benefit in this kind of environment?
Well, first and foremost, I think the earlier MM2H version one, the earlier one, it was a very much lower entry point, right? And then, of course, they had this premium MM2H, so to speak, where they have to increase certain deposits and certain income and whatnot. Well, I do hope that the government will look into really revising it, because this does impact not only Bonkara alone, but the country as a whole. With FDIs coming in, economy growing, you have talents coming as well. Naturally, I think it helps the economy in general. But how is it going to help in Bonkara? I think it will impact in a sense, because Kuala Lumpur for foreigners to purchase is minimum 1 million ringgit. So hence, by us doing this size and this price point, we are able to also widen our spectrum of audiences to international, right? How will MM2H help us? It will probably help us a little bit. It won't help us a lot. I would perhaps hope MM2H help the economy, the country more importantly, because that's the key driver for our local purchasers. Big sizes like this mostly is going to be a majority local purchasers who's going to purchase it and stay themselves rather than international property purchasers to come and buy. With that also being said, we do have quite a number of foreign purchasers. We have from, of course, Singapore. I think we have Brunei. We also have perhaps Taiwan,
yeah.
China, Hong Kong, not so much. But we still have a few international purchasers right now. Majority is still Malaysian purchasers at this kind of juncture.
Right. Yeah, I have to say that Bonkara is one of those unique places. When you go and view property, then the fella come and pass you a key that time, they'll say, oh, the owner is in Brunei. The owner is Singaporean. The owner is Hong Kong.
Yeah,
it's one of those places that are like that. Yeah.
I mean, looking at Malaysia property, look, you compare regionally wise, looking at, let's say, Bonkara, we are only going at, 600 ringgit per square feet or 580 per square feet, depending on what sizes you choose. If you convert it to the dollar, Sing dollar example, it's now it's 3 point something.
Super cheap.
So,
I mean, if I'm a foreigner coming into Malaysia and thinking about staying, the first place that I'll likely think about is actually Bonkara.
Yep.
That's the truth. Yep. Bonkara, Bangsa, or either KL City Centre.
Correct.
These three places, right?
I guess Bonkara with the population growth as well, that's why the concern of the traffic. Right. However, with the population growth, actually in any business or retail that you do, F&B there, it somehow can sustain because the population is so dense. Right?
Correct.
And you really get to experience Bonkara differently because there's so much international flavors there. Whether it's food, whether it's a retail, whether it's offerings, or whatever, or even it's classes. there's so many international flavors there. So it kind of brings you to a very different location. I don't think there's a second Mon Kiara anywhere in Malaysia. Let's talk about the Korean community. They were, many years ago, they were always all in Ampang.
Mm.
Right, many years ago. Now, many of them perhaps also shifted to Mon Kiara.
Yeah, yeah.
And expats being expats, they will always be within their community,
correct,
something of familiar, you know, in Japanese community. So, and for Westerners as well. So,
correct.
Yeah, it's a very interesting place as well.
Yeah, it's a little New York, little Singapore, little Hong Kong.
Yeah,
I think it's a very unique place when it comes to Mon Kiara, right? Now, and also the fact that because you're offering a property that is 2,000 square feet, which is actually larger than landed property, actually.
Add that up together.
Yeah. I mean, I've been there myself in the showroom. For those of you who haven't been to the showroom, you guys can go and check it out, right? Yeah, and I have to say one thing. The design is so good.
In fact, thank you.
I have to say that like some The Estates people will dislike me, but I think Mon Kiara actually improved even further on the design. Yeah, I would be very impressed at the moment I went to The Estates, but after Mon Kiara, I was like, wow, there's those little bit of adjustment that you made that even better. Yeah, for example, although the square feet size is about the same, but you actually made the walkway towards the room slightly bigger.
Yep.
And that little bit of difference
yep.
made the whole place look so much more bigger. So I went to another friend's house in The Estates there. And what happened was that she actually got an ID fella to do ID lah, right? And what she did is that her door, her walkway, she just extended. She didn't break the walls, but she made a wooden frame. And it made it look bigger. And just with that, the house looked so much more spacious.
Yep.
And I realized that if you go to Mon Kiara itself, the 2,500 square feet unit, I don't need that. I don't even need to redesign one more. It just looked so much wider.
Yep.
And there's two doors. There is multiple. There's two entries into the living room. One from kitchen, one from walkway. And to go into kitchen also is one from walkway, one from living room.
Yep.
So it is a very well-designed living space, which people got to go there and experience themselves.
Yep.
But more importantly is this part. Coming with this, right, there are a few things that made me really, really question. You are only charging at the cheapest 580 per square feet. But the materials that you use, Faruni tiles, solid wood flooring. And then we are talking about even the drop off from toilet to the room itself with the solid roof. You guys actually put a metal steel, I don't know what to call that. I don't know what's the exact term, right?
Yeah.
But to protect the thing, right?
Yeah.
To protect it so that it doesn't rot from water and stuff.
Yeah.
And inbuilt
kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, kitchen cabinet, and then with the hot water system is also inbuilt.
Yeah.
And then each of those taps are actually mixer taps.
Yep.
How do you justify between the quality of material and making money?
Well,
because traditionally,
yep.
if we are looking at a property at this kind of range, they have to stinge from somewhere. If the design is so nice, which means that bigger space and so on, a well-thought design, they will stinge on material a bit. Okay? Or either the material very good, then smaller sizes a bit. Yeah. But overall, that's not what you do. You even have an extra parcel of land to make it into a central park, right? Which I'm going to talk about that later, right? But how do you justify between cost and making money? Because the same thing with the estate as well. When I went to the Lobby B, you are looking at really a hotel lobby style, centered. Okay, the centered, very cheap lah. Okay lah, you put the thing there lah, just maintenance lah. But that, I don't know, wines coating or whatever you want to call that the metal.
Yeah.
Fronting kind of thing, yeah, not metal, the wooden thing. All these are high cost. Even your pool area, this is one thing I learned as well. The places that are supposed to be dry is dry. The places that are supposed to be wet is wet.
Yeah.
Literally, there is a drop off, small little drainage just for the water to flow out so it doesn't go to spill off to the places that are supposed to be dry, right?
Yeah.
So this kind of detail that's being put in, it's a lot of money. So how do you justify between these two things?
Right. I think first and foremost, I think all this design comes in also from our consultant team that we engage. I think first and foremost, we always believe in always delivering over value, right? No matter whether the per square feet is high or low, I think at the end of the day, the materials we provide have to last long. Yeah. So to answer your question, we are looking at 580, 600 per square feet for Bon Cara. The materials you're providing, you have solid timber, you have large tiles, you have wider walkway, you also have solid timber.
Yeah, marble flooring.
No marble flooring in Bon Cara.
The estate is marble flooring.
The estate is marble flooring. That's right. So I think using materials-wise does not necessarily mean you must use expensive materials to express design. I think the most difficult part of design is using simple materials to accentuate design. Buying expensive materials to accentuate design is a bit easier, right? Mm. So the way I see it is that, like fittings, we are using Premtex. It's a Malaysian brand, but then it's actually matte black. So when it jives into a very light background of the tiles in the bathroom, suddenly you feel like, my bathroom suddenly look like hotel. Looks different. So I guess that also helps us to differentiate our product for the investors or even or purchasers who are looking to flip. Because it has differentiated the product versus the same property next door.
Mm.
That's the first thing already. The fittings has really differentiated. Of course, people won't choose because your fittings is black versus a chrome one. Mm. But at least people come in to view your property when they want to rent or they want to buy, it has a differentiator. Second thing is, of course, when you talk about the design of the property itself, I think, as I mentioned earlier, it was conceived during COVID. Hence, I stay in a condo. So I realized what are the pain points as I was staying in the condo, and I realized what can be improved. Hence, that's where we started to look how we can make everything, how we can optimize the traveling. For example, from the bedroom, you can bring your laundry to go straight to the yard, right from your bedroom. Versus conventionally, you've got a bedroom, come to the living room, go past your dry kitchen, go to your wet kitchen, then go to your yard to drop off your laundry, which is, if it's a family of four with two or three kids, you're going to be doing laundry almost every day, you know.
That's true.
Right? So it is a journey. So I guess that's one of the few things that we picked up and how we can add value to that. Second thing is that knowing Malaysians, generally, we don't use balconies to begin with. Either we just put baju outside there or we don't use it at all because then you got to clean and it's dusty and stuff like that. And looking at, because of COVID, we realized that, balcony may not be practical for the long term. Perhaps lanai, an enclosed lanai where there's a window for ventilation and you have a sliding door. So that this space is a very flexible space where you can do your yoga, you can do your workout, you can become your pet area. Young family, the kids can be a playroom while you do your work, close the door, you can still see them while you're doing your work at your dining table, things like that. So I think these are the things that we have experienced during COVID or noticed during COVID and how we improve that product moving forward. In terms of the material, we don't use expensive materials, I feel. We can use big brands or international brands or imported stuff, but it's not the brand that defines design, so to speak. It is how you use the products to make it look pleasant, how make it look long-lasting, make it look better. Because in Bond Estates, I think our lifeline, our tagline is living well-crafted, right? So we appreciate craftsmanship very dearly and very close to our heart. So craftsmanship is very, it's a scarce talent, right? Some people don't really appreciate craftsmanship, but we do very much. I think you come to the gallery, you see our showroom, you can see that we put so much little details to the thinking. One of the bathrooms are larger in size. Why? Because it's going to be easy if you have a future wheelchair resident. You can remove the glass, the shower screen door, shower screen, and put in the slope, you can use it for a wheelchair resident. But we don't put the railings there. We don't put the slope there because naturally people don't like to buy a property knowing that I'm sick or I will be sick. But at least when you want to, you have the flexibility. That's the key. So flexibility in housing, in your home is very important. I mean, many Malaysians buy property like a terrace house. They buy for the location. They don't need to buy for the layout. And then they start hacking everything down.
Yeah. Right?
So here, we have learned from the estate where certain things or certain areas, we don't even build the wall. We just leave it so that you can fill the space. And if you want it, you can add on your partition yourself.
Mm.
So rather than you have to spend cost to bring it down and then to build it up, I rather don't build it at all and let you build when you want.
Yeah.
So that's some of the slight flexibility on certain spaces that we've learned throughout from our first project.
Yeah, that's true. I think that when it comes to this particular unit, or when it comes to Bond's design of properties, the product that you have, I realize you all really give a lot of thought into living space itself.
Mm.
The way things are structured, where do you move it? I recall there was a friend of mine, he actually renovated his house, spent over R1 million, right? Yeah. And how did he renovate it, right? He spoke to this friend of his who actually renovated his house multiple times, a rich guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he said this one thing to him. After you hack down all the walls, right? Let's go to your house. Let's imagine you come back from work. What are you going to do? So he just reenact the whole scene of how he walked in the house, take off shoe, go where, do this, do that, everything all. Then he said, oh, and when I come to your house, first thing I do, I need a place to sit down and then take off my shoe, put there. Then usually because I like to entertain friends, the first place that I come will be my kitchen. And my friends usually hang out at the dining area. So his house, the dining room is in front.
Mm.
Living room is at the back.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then because he likes to entertain people as well, and then some of them smoke and so on. So people will go in and out of the house. So instead of a full wall, right, it's a glass sliding door with the mosquito net.
Yep.
So that people can just go in and out between the dining room and the outside court to actually smoke or either to hang out like a party. So it becomes a very big space, right? So, and that is something that to a certain extent, I feel the designs that you're put in does have that. And are there other properties that have that? Yeah, but the price point is way more expensive, I have to say. And that's where I'm very surprised of such details. Generally, and this made me, because recently I bought Vista Kerama, right? Jalan Kerama 3. And I realized that buying condominiums or apartments, the design of the space is even more important than landed. Mm. Because landed, you can tear it down, you can rebuild. Condo, you can't.
Mm.
It is set,
right?
It is set in stone. You can't go and tear down a wall. You can't do anything, right? So to be able to find a condo with a good design will actually ensure that you are able to make to gain more out of it over the years.
Yep.
Because Vista Kara, the issue was, during those days, the design was lower ceiling, right? And people don't mind walking further away to click the switch on off, right? So what happened is that all the switches are concentrated at the walkway.
Yep.
It is not right in front of the the door there one. Yeah. So only the first switch for the first light is at the door there.
Yep.
Yeah, but the truth is that when you walk in your house, you actually on all the lights, eh?
Correct.
So these are the little bit of things that made me realize that, hey, I can't change all this. Now I need to change that. I need to hack a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't go and hack every single thing because it's a condo. Yeah, so I think that's the part that I have to say that it really differentiates your product.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and together with the price point that's much more affordable, does help you make sense. Not because you're on the show, I'm saying it to make you happy.
Yep.
But I personally would buy if I have the budget lah. If it's part of my plan lah, right? Yeah. Now, coming to the other part is that there's a difference between the estate and Bon Kiara.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing is, when I come to the estate, when I walk through the whole place, I realize that the facilities are everywhere. Not everywhere is in bad, as in the swimming pool area, the jacuzzi area is nearer to the resort style block A, right? And then you have the playground at the back of your block B.
Yep.
Then after that, you have your gym at block B, you have your yoga room at block B, like that. So it's everywhere, right? But when it comes to Bon Kiara, you are looking at a whole parcel of land there, which you're building all your facility concentrated in one place away from the residential. So why the difference? You could have built another
Tower.
Yes. There,
I could have built another tower, do smaller units and perhaps become three towers. I could also do that as well. But maybe because it did not fit into the product that we wanted to focus on, which is the larger size. If you have three towers, then probably the units are probably going to be smaller. And then it probably is going to be very high-dense development, right? Mm. So right now, we have 410 units. So uniquely, our site is also like a bit of a C or U shape. And we managed to only fit in the towers onto the longer, elongated parcel. The other two, which became the main entrance with a roundabout, that's where our pet park, dedicated pet park is, which is on the left-hand side. Then the longer one, I always say this, where this is where we put all the active facilities, where the noisy ones. And we purposely dedicated that and found that niche that we can offer a central park, we can offer a social clubhouse with a pool, gym, multi-purpose hall, games room, kids room, playground, sauna, barbecue. So those are the noisy stuff that everyone can gather there. And it's on ground versus typically most of them will put it above the car park podium. Then only come the... So basically,
that's right.
It was this car park facility, then residential.
Yeah.
Right? Usually that's what people do. Because perhaps the land is smaller, or they wanted to maximize to build units rather than allowing land to be used for facilities. So why the stark difference? I think because of one, the land shape. Second is that, as I mentioned earlier, identified that there's not many or very few parks in the development itself. And knowing that there's no public park in Monkera to begin with.
Mm.
There's zero public parks. If you realize, there's no public parks. The only public park is perhaps Bukit Kiara. It's a public hill for people to hike, right? Or Sri Bintang. So there's no park there at this current juncture. So why not have one within the development where parents don't have to drive all the way to DDDI Kiara Park just to walk around the lake and to play picnic and, you know,
right,
and play something or play catching or play frisbee. So why go so far when you can save the petrol, come downstairs and just play downstairs? So I think that was a real differentiator in terms of facilities that we identified and really add value for the family bonding with the kids. That's on the ground floor. Then on both towers, we have two towers. Level 24 is also another level of facility. It is not connected, but it's connected from the ground, from the podium. There's no sky bridge. So up there is the passive facility where you have a family lounge where you can host private birthday parties, a packs of 10, 20. You don't want to dirty your house, you dirty there, right? And you can host your parties there. You can also have, there's also a kids room, so in case you have kids, you can throw a kids birthday party at the same time, it's next to each other, right? Then you have a yoga studio, a meditation pod, where sometimes yoga studios can turn into a dance studio for the kids to learn dancing, or even taekwondo. So the space are provided, but how are you going to activate the space and what activity you want to do with it? It's entirely up to the residents. All our job is to build the hardware. As from an IT background, hardware, software, services. So we can only build all the hardware that's required, and how they want to use it and engage with it, we leave it to the owners to utilize it. Because when a space is designed well, people will naturally want to utilize it. When a space is not designed well, people tend to stay far away from it. Right? And designing well doesn't mean just put a laminated flooring, white walls or mirrors, people will go and use it, you know. People don't, they're not attracted to it, right? So I think that's the stark difference of the facilities that we have. And that being said, even like our car park podium, it is built with a speed ramp. What do you mean by speed ramp? I'm sure everybody has gone to KLCC or one Otama. So as you go into the KLCC car park, you can go from, after you take a ticket, you can go like three floors down.
Yes.
Or three floors up to exit. So similar to ours is that we've built the car park where you can go three floors in one drive and turn off one circle and then go up another three floors.
Mm.
So if you come second floor to third floor, your car park is on third floor, you can just turn out straight away.
Yep.
Then you don't have to go all the way.
So you don't have to keep turning and turning and turning.
Versus going circle.
Yeah, which is super annoying.
Correct. So because the land is elongated, hence we have this opportunity to do it and provide this convenience to the residents. That's one. Second, of course, the unit itself has EV chargers at their own car park for own charging or their own time without going to a common one. There will be a common one, but at least every night you can just charge at your own car park. The conveniences that we put in.
So the facilities are all ready for a much more future-proof kind of design, right?
Which was coincident because we didn't expect EV to pick up so crazily as of recent times. Everyone's just going to EV. Yeah, so it was also, in a way, yes, you're right. We are building it for the future. We are not building it like for 5 years ago. We have to build for the future because when it's completed, technology has changed. Way of life has changed. And yeah, so it's just changed so fast. So we just need to plan and have the foresight to see what product fits for a future generation of family living. That's all.
I think now that you say it, I think it's going to be quite cool if, let's say, you can tell people that I live in Monkera. You know that the only condo with a park. It's going to be quite cool, right? Yeah.
In a way. So I was just joking to a friend the other day and just said, you know, you want to buy a new car? But you want to stay in the old development? Where can? You got to buy a new car. You got to buy a new development.
What a way to sell a property.
No, in a way, it's true. If you want to buy a EV car, you can't stay in the old condo, right? If you stay in the old condo, then you got to put all the infra, which administration office may not allow you. Then they got to charge you a hefty bomb. You got to put everything. So it's not infra ready.
Especially if you are EV, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not infra
ready. Now to think about it, I think a lot of condo is going to face challenges if, let's say, everyone changed to EV.
Correct. And the thing is that even though all units are provided an EV charger, rarely it's going to be 100% utilized. Take for example, if you stay in a condominium, if you're next to a petrol station, rarely the whole neighbor is going to go to the petrol station to pump petrol. It's rarely going to happen.
Yes.
Or it's never going to happen because it's always different time, people have different supply, blah, blah.
Unless one COVID again. Suddenly everyone park there and then keep it charged.
I can't go out.
Yeah, you can't go out, right? Just charge one time. Unless they're lazy, they put it there.
Correct. Someone will switch it off.
But now the battery also smart enough. At the moment it's fully charged, you stop charging.
Yeah.
In fact, Tesla one, what happened is that it's going to discharge some more into the grid.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the Tesla one. Yeah,
quite interesting. New technology.
Yeah, they actually discharge it back into the grid so you can use in the system when you're not using.
Okay.
But on the other hand, now it gives me this another thought, right? Is that I think if one day everyone is going to change to EV, a lot of the condos surrounding that are not EV ready will suffer a higher management cost suddenly.
Higher management cost. I think it would.
I mean, they need to install
the infra.
They need to install the infra. So yes. The money have to come from...
The money will probably have to come in from the owner himself. Yeah. To pool, because versus if you're staying a landed, to pool is maybe like 3,000-5,000 ringgit. But for you to pool in a condominium, because you got to pool from the main box, that, and if your car park is one end to another, then you're going to put a cable, it's long.
And their main, and put it this way, you don't know whether their main existing power infrastructure can support. So maybe the capacity, they need to...
Which is not possible, because most of the time, the power supply is ready. Already some buffer, right? Just a little bit, just there, but not for.
So, but like my point is that I think it's gonna be a lot of hassle. Now that I think about it, I never thought about this actually. Now that you bring it up, there, like actually, I think it's gonna be a problem.
Yep.
And because my condo is old, so it's like.
So if you're gonna buy a new car, just consider one carat.
No, having said that, I want to talk about next part here, right? Let's talk a little bit about the future, right? What is bond estates land banking strategy? Because I believe bond CARA is not your only thing. No. Probably by now that you're all start ready. What's the take up rate like, firstly?
Bond CARA itself is we just exceeded plus 60%. Taken up. So which is very fortunate because we launched only on June 16 this year.
Right.
So it's less than almost half a year.
Right, coming, less than
coming,
half a year.
Coming to half a year.
Okay.
We are quite fortunate because it's well taken up and it's well received in that sense.
Are there any repeat customers from
Oh yes, of course. Definitely. I think repeat customers play a big part with the referrals, with the recommendation. Of course, we had challenges previously on certain things, of the certain details, but we have gone through it already. We have learned from it and we've also improved ourselves as well. So I think that's very much a learning curve for all of us.
Right.
To better ourselves.
Right. So I think many of the people who actually enjoyed the capital gain returns from the estate probably have a lot of confidence to come back.
Yeah, I guess they also probably appreciate the bond experience as well and how we keep communicating to them, how we keep our communications close, and you know, that's what we do very consistently.
Yeah, I think this is the part where maybe before I go into land bank, right, is I noticed something very different about you guys, because your team here, not everyone was from the property sector itself.
No.
Yeah. Like you yourself was from IT.
Yes.
Right, you were mentioning. Yeah. And I guess there's this whole story about being an underdog in the industry, in the sense where you guys are new players and people will be like, hey, new player come in, you should be hiring like maybe UEM CEO come in and become not a non-property guy, right?
Yep.
And because of that, then you guys don't take things for granted per se compared to other people. They are more lao jiao already, right? Like, aiya, this one no problem, just say it like that can already. You will be much more, how to say it, like there's more to prove, right?
Yes.
There's more to be grateful about, right?
Yes. I guess Yes, I think we have a very wide spectrum of various leadership team and also colleagues as well. But technically, of course, we still need engineers who are familiar with construction.
Those don't play.
Safety and security and comfort, we don't compromise at all. But nevertheless, I guess in terms of the marketing part, the product design, the innovation, the creativity of the product design and also the innovation and how we approach things is somewhat a little bit different, which I will always put myself wearing the purchaser or the residence had whatever product that we design. And that's very, very important, because if not, when you just only look on numbers or like someone mentioned before, if a project is just based on Excel sheet to come out, then it's just going to be just numbers. I think making money, everybody do business also want to make money. But I feel, I think the company philosophy is that when we are able to put satisfaction into the work that we do, the product that we give out, I think that naturally will bring whatever profit to the company and we can reward whoever that's relevant or that has contributed to the success. But at the end of the day, I think the mindset is if you're able to continuously deliver value or over-delivering value to the customer, to our teammates, to our consultants, or even our main contractor or our suppliers, at the end of the day, they will realize that, hey, these guys are not kai wan xiao wan, they are serious to do things well. They don't want to trouble people, they don't do things properly and do the best that they can. Of course, we will have mistakes. Of course, we will have shortfalls. We are not perfect. But I think if we continue to do the best that we can, I think that's the value that we can give. And speaking about various industry, we have bankers, we have IT, we have also another banker, we have various people, right? We also have someone from airlines, you know. So all these things, it just gives you a very different aura in the company, and it gives you very different ideas as well.
Right.
But that being said, we are all serious in always delivering over value, over delivering to our customers. I think that's what we can do the best.
All right. Yeah. Now, so let's move on to the final question that I have actually is what's ahead for Bond Estate?
Yeah.
Like first two projects, you guys are focusing on luxurious projects.
Yep.
Yeah. Albeit the pricing is at an affordable level per square feet.
Yep.
Yeah. But still, we are talking about bigger parcel. Right, we are talking about people who are much more affordable. What's ahead? Are you going to continue this same direction, or will you be looking at other more affordable kind of projects? Where are the next places that you're looking at?
Yep.
What's the strategy ahead?
Right, I think generally our strategy has always been Klang Valley right now. That's the real key focus that we're focusing on Klang Valley at the moment. As I mentioned from the earlier conversation, is that I think we are very focused and very serious on doing the best for this T20 market. The upper premium market at the moment. So the next few land banks that we are hoping to finalize very soon are all Klang Valley. It's no further than 8 kilometer radius from our gallery. So that is that radius that we're focusing on. It could be large sizes, it could be small sizes as well. It also could be perhaps maybe landed also. So when I say 8 kilometers, it's not far lah. So let's see. When the time is right, I'll definitely announce and share accordingly what we can. But nevertheless, these are the interesting pipeline for us, continuous pipeline. And we are at a stage where we are at a growth stage in a sense. So growth in a sense, we are not going for excessive growth. We are going for steady and continuous growth so that every year we have something to look forward to and to keep ourselves busy at least for the next five, six years, perhaps, whatever that's in the pipeline easily, that can keep us busy.
That's great. I look forward to see your developing landed here and perhaps maybe even commercial.
Yeah. You never know.
No. So just to end this session tonight, one question here. What is one advice that you give to people who are looking to invest in property in this kind of economic climate?
Wow. I mean... economic climate is one thing. I think that even at a bad economy, there are many industries that is doing well, right? Take for example, if it's during COVID, it was a crisis, but what did well? Pharma, health, wellness did so well. Yeah. So I think with that being said, first off, even economy is in a way slow. You just got to be very careful with your cash flow. I think we have mentioned this before in our talk before. I think cash flow is utterly important. Don't bite more than you can chew. Look at something that you are familiar with, perhaps an area that you're familiar with, because if you're familiar, means you are clear on how to bring in a tenant, right? Choose a product well. May not necessarily have to be a first developer property, can be a subsale property. Could also be auction properties as well. There's so many channels that you can look into various channels. So I wouldn't say that I'm a property expert, but my advice is, of course, go slow, do the right research, find out about the supply, find out about the tenant market that you want to, the tenant profile that you want to capture. Are you looking to capture a first home stayer, or someone coming from outstation that also even want to rent a room? Are you going to be targeting that kind of profile? Are you targeting students? Because if you're looking to target students, then you probably need to go to where closer to universities are, right? Are you also maybe perhaps targeting foreign workers? There's also a market. It doesn't mean there's no market there as well, right? Maybe you need to work with or speak to some factory that wants to rent a space for their foreign workers. So I guess at the end of the day, just got to be very clear on where your audience, your target profile, customer you want to capture first. Second is the location. Third, manage your cash flow. Find the most value project product where you need to pump in a little bit to make it better, because when you go in low, you definitely need to spend money to make it better, to differentiate yourself.
Yep.
Because like I said, if there's such a good deal out there, I'm sure there are also many other competition next to you or above you or nearby you. So how are you going to differentiate yourself? You've got to find some way to differentiate yourself. The only way you can differentiate yourself is perhaps the furnishing, the fittings, or even certain packages. So recently I spoke to a friend of mine. He said, you know, Jinwai, when I rent my property out, I will factor everything in. I said, what do you mean by that? Assuming my rent, I can fetch 4,000 ringgit. I would assume my internet bill, my utility bill, my water bill, my gas bill, another, let's say, 1,000 ringgit. I factor everything in. Then I rent at 5,000 ringgit. So why you do that? Say, oh, because if someone who wants to rent, they don't want to tau tong, headache. They got to go there to apply this. You got to go there to apply this. You got to go there to pay deposit. You got to run there. So people come in to rent, sometimes it's not long term, like 5 years. It's probably 24 months. And they wouldn't want to spend time going to go through all this.
Yeah.
So that is also one very interesting strategy I found out. I said, hey, that's quite interesting. I never heard of before.
But yeah, of course, just in case the fella never pay, also you already
increase
the price to cover it already.
But of course, the concern is talking about utility. Right. They may be overusing it. But nowadays, with TMB app, it's so easy, it's so convenient. You can actually monitor how much you use already.
Yeah.
Then there's a certain clause, this one, at this 1,000, you can use maybe up to 250 per month. Anything exceed, you got top up. If you sign the tenancy, it's agreeable, then okay, nothing really.
True.
You know what I mean? So I find there's many ways that's very interesting if you really look into it and speak to more people. Speak to more people and more agents and things like this, just to do more research. So I think that's my advice, is do the right research, speak to more people, and just manage your target audience very clearly. Because if you say to buy a property to just hope for someone to come in, and that's always the case.
That's
always the case. I buy it first, chili sin lam la, think later, fine later. But you got to know where you want to go, because it's not a small purchase, you see.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's the thing about a lot of Asian investor, especially when we are not very familiar, is that they see owning a house as a landmark success. But actually, they forgot that owning a home and investing in a home is no different from investing in stock.
Correct.
Investing in anything else, you need to know. It's no different from running a business, in fact.
Exactly.
You need to know who's going to be your customer. You need to know where are they going to come from.
Correct.
What makes them happy. You know, but many people just have this idea that, like, at the moment I invest in a property, I own a property, now I'm a homeowner. I'm very proud, right? And then, like, after maybe 3 years, 4 years, the property price increased by 10%. They are so proud. But actually, if you factor in all the costs that came by, most of the time, they're actually losing money, man. They are not even making money, but at least they can tell people, I own this house.
Yeah,
I feel great about myself.
Breaking rights,
But actually, if you really calculate, many times not even.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah.
And that is actually a huge problem, in my opinion.
Mm.
And that's why I would say that if you are embarking on a property investment journey, look at it like a business.
Yeah, you have to, because investment,
right.
you got to do your right research. You got to plan it properly. You can't just
that's
jump
right.
into it for the sake of jumping.
Yeah, it's not like you own a property, it's very fun, you know. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe your first one you'll feel very fun. After you own a 3-4, then you understand.
Yeah, you raise your tenant, it's not fun anymore.
It's not that fun. All right.
Cool.
Yeah. So guys, if you guys have any question, do leave it in the comment for us, and so that we can respond to it either right now or either in the near future, right? So Thank you very much, Jinbai, for joining us today. Truly, it was an enjoyable session. We came to learn a lot about Bond Kiara. And for those of you guys who actually haven't yet visited the Bangsa showroom, it is open every day, right?
It's open every day, for sure. 9 to 6 p.m. If no one's there, I'll be there. Don't worry. I also do sales as well.
Yeah. So go and check it out. It's a beautiful place. I think for me personally itself, whether you're buying or not, going there itself, it gives you a little bit of inspiration, you know, to like, what kind of space do you really want to live in?
Yep.
Yeah. What kind of design do you really want to have? Because, yeah, I have to say, I'm very impressed. If right now I'm sitting on a pile of cash, I can just deploy anytime, it will be one of those things
very soon.
Yeah? But unfortunately, for me, I still need to think twice, so I'm thinking twice. Let's see how my other assets move. If all go up very well, maybe I'll give you a call.
Anytime.
Yep. So that's all about it. Thank you very much, Jinbai.
Thanks.
Looking forward to see you again.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.